This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Love Sport Radio with Besotted across the capital on DAB Digital Radio, of course, online and via your smart speaker. 2-0 to Manchester United in the FA Cup this evening. We'll be bringing you the quarterfinal draw a little bit later on. But first and foremost, we're talking all things Brentford.
Cup? What cup?
The FA, the Football Association Challenge Cup.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking all things Brentford with Dave Laney Lane, who's graced us with his presence this evening.
You should be bow down before the one you serve.
Robin Hood.
I am here, yeah.
In the building. And XG Dave.
I'm in a Dave sandwich.
You are?
Yeah. Literally. Wow.
No sign of Hartson again this week. He is MIA. Let's talk. You know, the sort of delirium of midweek against Aston Villa. I was watching the game. I wanted Brentford to win. Dean Smith looked rather moody faced as he trudged off the pitch at Griffin Park. You know, late goal from that man, Neil Maupay, granting Brentford those 3 points, but a disappointing exit to the FA Cup.
Well, it was kind of one of those good week, bad weeks where you kind of, it's very difficult to work out where the dividing line was, because, you know, the whole of the 90 minutes really against Aston Villa were great. And then it, you know, took us into the, you know, what was probably a more important game to our season. And for the first 45 minutes, we looked really, really Brentford, and then the second 45 we looked really, really QPR, and it was just hard to take.
It was difficult. It's definitely been a week of two halves. The euphoria of Villa followed by the should we call it capitulation of the last 45 against Swansea. So it's a difficult feeling to have currently as a Brentford fan, because of that sort of real sort of juxtaposition of emotions from the Villa game to the Swansea game.
Yeah, second all that. It's such a cliche, but we did just fall into sort of a game of two halves. First half were fantastic, really, really good. I think it would have been better if we were bad in the first half and bad in the second, but because we were so good, it hurts even more. Really frustrating.
I just didn't really see it coming. You know, we were obviously going to be stretched as Swansea. They're a decent team on their day and on their game, and we had respect for them. We didn't go into that game thinking it was ever going to be one-sided and Brentford were going to kind of steamroll a Swansea. We knew that they were capable of playing technically some really excellent stuff.
They're a good side.
But the first half, it seemed that we bossed midfield. We had chances. Obviously, they asked questions of us at the back, and Barbe got booked after 5 minutes, which ultimately was kind of one of those pivotal moments where he couldn't make a second challenge, so Konsa was relied upon to cover for him. And, you know, it was just like... I don't know what the draw is going to be later on. I just hope they get a nasty one.
I think I'm not hoping for the best draw either. The best way I can describe it is, at half time, I was sitting there very, very happy. I think we all were. I don't think there was a Brentford fan in sight that thought we were going to that we were going to capitulate in the way that we did. You mentioned it earlier, sort of like you take that first half and the goal, the performance, the general attitude of the team was fantastic, I thought.
Well, I always kind of take a like straw poll of what people think at half time. So, like, you know, Billy and I normally go around and we chat to people. You know, we haven't done the videos for a few weeks now, but we go around and we kind of like take what would you think?
Yeah,
take and stuff. Everyone was like buzzing. Everyone's like, no one said, oh, you know, yeah, we're 1-0 up and, oh, we got to watch it. Yeah. It's like next goal. But to get that next goal in the way it was like conceded was quite hard to take. So it was an own goal by the goalkeeper. We'll talk about goalkeepers a little bit later on in this because it's a bit of an Achilles heel for us.
Got to be discussed.
And, you know, after that, it was all one way. You know, to concede that second goal from a free kick that we were taking, it was a little bit junior football.
Yeah, very much.
It was indeed against a Swansea side who have had a real bit of troubled times over the past sort of a year, if you like, under their American owners. Interesting, I picked up a tweet by someone who is an ex-journalist now.
XJ.
He's an XJ, not an XG. So Brentford have been a good championship side, but certain flaws have stopped them from being a great side in recent years. 15-16 couldn't beat teams above. 16-17 dropping points versus bottom sides. 17-18 dropping points from winning positions. 18-19 conceding two goals in under 10 minutes. And the way they've backed this up is 15-16 picked up a total of 8 points against the other top 10 teams. 16-17 picked up just 4 points against the three relegated sides. 17-18 dropped a total of 26 points from winning positions, 21 of those before Christmas. And 18-19 conceded more than one goal 10 times in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you probably can't argue with much of that. It's true, we're a young team. We're nowhere near the finished article.
No.
And, you know,
but there's been improvement over. If you look at where Thomas Frank started, and obviously the back end of the Dean Smith era, you've got to say, you know what, fair play, there's been improvement.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things you just reeled out. There's been different coaches over that period. There's been different players over that period. Teams have evolved, players have gone, and you can't just pick. Yeah, I mean, it's probably quite harsh to pick out all those points. And
you know, it's not as if that all of those stats with the same team.
No,
you know,
definitely
we've evolved, and you know, we are a selling team, and it's difficult to defend that sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we don't want to. You know, sometimes we'd love to be a retaining team, but that's the way that we balance our books. That's the way the business model is, and a lot of the time you can't argue with that. And yeah, we're still playing well. Apart from the second half yesterday, we're playing some of the best football we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And you know, I'll go as far as to say it's the best football I've seen in my lifetime. So the scales are tipped firmly in the it's going okay side.
Yeah, it's ticking over.
I would say it's more than ticking over as well. I think, like Lenny said, I completely agree. We're playing some absolutely phenomenal football. And I mean, yeah, you could argue that in terms of season by season, we've been dropping down the table slightly, but we've still achieved top 10 finish every single time. This season may be a bit different, particularly with the sales of Chris Meppham and Alan Judge, key significant players, might affect that sort of slide down the league, if you want to call it that. But under Thomas Frank, and given the transitional period we've had recently, it's going okay.
Yeah, the signs are good.
And equally, it's only fair and it's only right to be really hacked off that, you know, the Brentford in it, we were almost in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup and we're out 4-1.
Do you blame Frank for picking Daniels over Bentley?
No,
not really.
Is he a cup keeper?
I think he was his cup keeper.
Is he good enough?
No.
Probably is Bentley not good enough?
Not at the moment.
Debatable.
He's been in a weird vein of. I've said it every single time. The guy's a poor man's Joe Hart. I'm sorry.
No. You're exactly right. Because when he was playing really well in his first season, I actually said, and I've said it on this show, that I could see him playing for Man City at some stage, but. Certainly not at the moment.
When he dips, he properly dips. He just looks like
I'd love to know the actual cause of this. Yeah. Well, is there something going on?
Didn't he say recently that he feels he's become a better keeper this season?
I think that was poorly timed, I think.
Yeah, I think he said that, and it was just off the back of, I think it was his flap against, I can't remember who it was. But I don't see how he's progressed as a keeper. That's the worry for me. I think on his day, he's an outstanding shot stopper, and providing he's got the right players in front of him, he's a good distributor.
Well, there was a change of goalkeeping coaching staff. Simon Roy's obviously departed, and you brought in Inaki. Inaki Kanapov. Inaki Kanapavon.
That's easy for you to say.
Yes, oh, no, that's the one.
Excuse me.
A totally game of two halves. First half, we were all over them, and we were just saying in the half-time break, were we to get a second goal early in the second half, they would have crumbled and we would have been safe and through. I don't know what happened. We were unlucky that goal hitting Daniel's head. But where are we going to go with this? This is a very, very disappointing result. 1,300, 1,400 bees travelling down on the free coaches. But Swansea have played a really, really good second half. They have been all over us. They deserve the win.
It was a game of two halves. We were in it until the sending off. But they were better than us in the second. They were very good. And we couldn't handle that, lad. And our cheeky little...
James.
Yeah. And our cheeky little let's not play a right back game didn't work against him, did it? Let's face it.
Well, they sussed it out. Well, the first half we battered them. The second half they changed it up a bit, and they knew how to change it up a bit. And we said it, and we tweeted out the besotted tweets. We said, even though we were 1-0 up, Swansea technically are a very good side. We still need to be on our A game, even though we were winning. And they, to be fair to the Potter, the second half he knew what they needed to do.
We just didn't get out of the blocks second half. Don't know what the Swansea manager said to his players, but whatever he did, it worked. They weren't the same team. We never matched that fire. It's bits in the bum, basically. Don't know what else to say. Could have been so differently. We dominated so much the first half. Perhaps a little bit too frivolous with the chances we had. Maybe took our eye off the ball going into the second half, maybe. But Swansea came out, I've got to say fair play to them. Took the chances that they had. They were a different team. We never matched it. Good night, Vienna.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, hey, what can you do?
What can you do?
Yeah, I felt they did to us what we've done to so many teams this season, and it just wasn't our day. It's not the end of the world. We played all right, but we'll come back next week. We'll be better. We'll win next week. It's not the end of the world.
And to be honest, at half time, I thought, really, apart from a second goal, we were home. I hate to say it, but I thought we were verging on being home and dry. The thing is with Swansea, we saw it at our place, is that, you know, and Swansea a bit like us, aren't they? They can turn from looking like lacking confidence to suddenly being full of confidence. And the minute they're full of confidence, they're very, very hard to stop. And in a way, they kind of reminded me of us against Blackburn. Once they got into it, and the first goal, you know, could he have put it round the? Ideally, he puts it round the post. He doesn't come back and hit him, which is what I understand happened. So that's disappointing. But you know, the momentum switched really quite quickly after that.
Me and definitely the better side in the first half, and and then I think we were like a different team in the second. We seemed to sort of play a bit further up the pitch and start hitting the ball a bit more directly to Dan James, and your guys just couldn't cope with his pace. Well, it'll be interesting to see who we get, you know. I think obviously we're hoping for Millwall at home.
I thought the Brentford fans came in good numbers today. I thought it was good atmosphere first half. I thought we fully deserved the goal. I thought it was brilliantly taken by Ollie Watkins. But there you go, you know. It's a game that I thought we could come here and win. If things went our way, and they didn't in the end. First half, we fully deserved it. Over the 90 minutes, Swansea deserved it. So hopefully they draw Man City in the next round and they get absolutely annihilated.
You can tell Dave Lane is like really important because he always caps off all those fan audios. Some, you know,
artists have riders, you know, when they play gigs. And I'll just say, save the best till last.
Finish with style,
I just say, save the best till last.
You are like the Eagles playing Hotel California at the end, aren't you?
If you say so.
Exactly like that. What do you take from that? What do you take from that sort of fan audio first and foremost?
I think the fan audio was fair. I don't think we put any kind of spin or any gloss on that. It was a very good first 45 by Brentford. It was a mysterious second half. The game was just flipped on its head, and it's very difficult to actually think of a game that's kind of spun round quite so dramatically.
I thought Allard hit the nail on the head when he compared it to the Blackburn game. to be honest. I thought there was a that had that similar feel of, you know, a team. No team was really dominating. There was obviously the better team, but then the way we went out and destroyed Blackburn in the second half, I thought resonated or was similar to the Swansea.
Yeah, I slightly disagree. I think that first half we were absolutely fantastic. It was similar. Actually, the first half reminded me a lot of the Stoke match. So people talk about the Stoke game being one of the best performances. People,
well, the one at Britannia.
No, Griffin Park. The Stoke match was fantastic. It was really, really good. The first half against Swansea, we were in complete control, doing a lot of similar things like winning the ball high up the pitch. Benrahma, Watkins, Morpai, picking it up on the edge of their box, like pressuring them. We were really good, and Stoke had nothing. We didn't even know James was on the pitch in the first half. No one really knew he existed. McBurney had about three touches. We completely controlled them. It's just, was it going too well in a slight, yeah, was there a little bit of complacency in that? In the beginning of the second half, that's what I'm kind of
possibly all the things that we needed to go our way were going our way. You know, we had Mococho and Sawyers that were bossing it in the middle. They had a lot of space. They were able to distribute the ball exactly where they wanted to. Obviously, Barbe fouled James in after 5 minutes, as I said earlier, which we actually proved to be quite an important chess move. But I wasn't aware as much of his presence in the first 45.
If a player like that gets your left back a yellow card in the early parts of the game, you're in panic mode. You're thinking they're going to expose him. And for 45 minutes, the ball was nowhere near him. We completely controlled it. So that first half went really, really well.
I thought everyone's talking about Dan James, rightly so. He's a fantastic player. But I think, Bersancelina? I thought he was phenomenal as well. Some of his footwork and his ability to distribute from such a tight situation. Yeah. Everyone's raving about Dan James, but he was fantastic as
well.
You've got to give him credit.
We were talking about Judgy and Ipswich.
Yeah.
And Ipswich had Cellina last season on loan from Man City.
They
tried to get him in the summer, and I don't think he'd move for some reason, or City wouldn't let it happen.
Was it a fee thing?
I think it was a fee thing. Yeah. I just don't know what their owner is actually doing there. Mm. But anyway, but they miss him so much. And that's why they brought in Judgy, someone who can actually potentially create something, you know.
Yeah.
But it seems like Swansea have got themselves a really good player there in Cellina.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's probably the saving grace today. When I got home and when I woke up this morning, I wasn't thinking we were cheated or we were kind of like really at the end of a very dodgy decision or there was a penalty that went against us that was, you know, it was a glaring error by an official. We were well beaten in the second half.
Yeah.
And all the times, you know, and I think I'll put my hand up and say, you know, all the times we say that we outplayed someone and we deserved and we didn't get what we deserved. In fact, fair play Swansea, and they actually gave us a proper game of football in the second half, and they deserved it. And whatever the draw is tonight, they're there because they deserve it. I can't really be any fairer than that.
Yeah, no, I think when you watch us play, you sort of appreciate good football. You know when you're out footballed by a team. You know when you're outplayed. You know when you're. You know when you've been done, basically.
And it doesn't happen very often.
And you have to hold your hands up.
I would say, as great as Swansea were, I think if you look at the goals we conceded, we did hand it to them in some way. We were the architects of our own downfall as much as they were very, very good.
You know, you got to say that we were really unlucky with, you know, the ball hitting the post.
Yeah, that was unlucky.
Yeah,
hitting, you know, him in the head.
You know, what can you say to that? I mean, it's a freak goal. It doesn't happen often. On a different day, we've
stabbed ourselves as well. We had a free kick on the edge of their area and we've conceded.
I mean, who okayed that free kick routine? I'd really love to hear that.
We should probably talk about that a bit. I don't know. It seemed like the situation to me seemed, from like a coaching perspective, you'd treat it like a corner. You'd look and you'd have your fastest player as deep as possible. In case the move did break down, if you chipped it in and it just came straight back out and they were running at you, we kind of were a bit complacent there. We approached it as if all that space behind us didn't really matter. And
well, it was Mococho who was the last player back, wasn't he? And if why wouldn't you have Odubaja there?
Well, Odubaja almost got back, but
because he was sprinting full
pace. But then
you've
got, you know, you've got Benrahma and you've got Barbe on there that can really larrup the ball. Mm. They're able to hit the ball and test the goalkeeper.
This is what I kind of alluded to earlier with a little bit of complacency. So we get that free kick on the edge of their box. It's just gone to 1-1. We've been playing well so far, and Sawyers sort of picks the ball. And it's Sawyers. We know what he can do, but he sort of just rolled it into Morpai, and Morpai had about four players around him. So were they switched on? Were they thinking, this could be a dangerous situation? That's got to go back to Sawyer straight away, or it's got to go wide. Instead, Morpai takes a touch, and then four players are on him, and then before we know what happened next, everyone's seen the clips now.
That's the problem with some of our approach play, I feel, is sometimes we try to pass it through the eye of a needle.
It's a bit too intricate.
And it's fine when you're building up naturally or organically from a midfield position. But when it's from a free kick, you don't really want to do that again.
Not at that moment.
Should we take a pause?
Shall we?
Let's take a pause. Let us pause. This is the Brentford Fan Show. Yeah, this is Love Sport with your Brentford Fan Show. Gents, the M4 there's quite a few sort of slowdowns on it nowadays around the Brentford elevated section due to my sort of my constant need just to look over.
Rubbernecking.
My rubbernecking, yeah, that's the technical term. My constant need to look at what's going on at that stadium. It is impressive.
It is impressive.
It's flying up.
Yeah, the Brentford drone took off yesterday and it...
Still up there?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think
it needs to take a bit of time out to land
for a bit.
It took some impressive pictures and some footage of the stadium yesterday. So fair play to the Brentford drone, who always texts me immediately after I've come off this show and go, oh, thanks for the mention of the Brentford drone. And I never do it, but...
Shout out to the Brentford drone.
Captain.
Yeah, really well
Thank
done.
You, Brentford drone.
Is the Brentford drone's captain anonymous?
It's a hippopotamus. What?
Is it anonymous?
I have no idea what's meant.
Yes, he is.
Fair play. That's understandable.
And but yesterday, M4,
incognito.
The slowdowns on the M4 all the way to South Wales, it was like gridlock. The whole of West London was heading towards Swansea yesterday.
Talk to me about the new stadium and the expected announcement.
Right. XA.
Well, I think I've got to step up, but... XA for the new stadium is approximately 17,000 people in it. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not 17,250.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the expected announcement.
The expected announcement is that Brentford, before Christmas, they announced the names for lounges and a few special areas of the new ground. And a few fans groups, a few independent fans groups weren't happy about that, including Besotted. We made representation to the chairman, Cliff Crown, and Cliff met us on a couple of occasions and he listened. And we produced what I think was an amazing presentation as to why some of the stadium names should be changed. And fair play to the club, they took it on board. And what we've got in, you know, after all of that negotiation is I think something that the fans can be truly proud of, and the club are going to announce it a little bit later on in the week. We've exchanged a few amendments to it today just to make sure that everyone's happy with that. But Harry Curtis was Brentford's greatest ever manager. He took over the club in 1926 and he guided us through the third and second divisions to the top flight, where we became one of London's elite and one of the top flights elite for 5-6 years. We regularly beat Arsenal and Chelsea and all the top teams. And unfortunately, Mr. Hitler had his say, and the Second World War really messed all that up for us. But Harry Curtis was the manager who was there when we won every single home league game in 1930, something that no other team has ever done. And Harry Curtis was someone that we were very, very keen or very, very insistent on having acknowledged in the new stadium. And fair play, the boardroom at the new stadium will be called the Harry Curtis Boardroom. And I spoke to Harry Curtis's granddaughter last week and she cried on the phone. She was so proud that her grandfather and the legacy that lives on in his name is going to be recognised in the new stadium. So, you know, fair play. There's been significant change there and I think Brentford fans will be delighted to hear the announcement and the press release that comes later in the week.
Is there going to be a Billy Grant lounge?
Nope. No, there's not. No, there's not. No, there's not. Absolutely. No. There's been no nepotism in this. It's literally we've done this through the right reasons. It's not about anything that's happened in the last sort of 40, 50 years. It's all about back in the day. Mm. And you'll know, we've recognised the heritage back to the very, very earliest days. So there's no egos involved here. It's literally people that care about the football club.
I was gutted that I'm not going to be able to go to Laney's kiosk.
No.
You can still probably go to that. I don't know.
I'll serve you a pie anywhere else you want.
Thank you very much.
What's your favourite pie?
The ones at Ipswich.
It's the Neil Moore pie.
It's the Neil Moore pie.
You missed that one.
That pun was so obvious as well. Yes.
Oh. Not really.
Oh, the tumbleweed.
Not really.
I'd just like to say something about the new stadium. Obviously, Griffin Park has been something of a sacred place for all Brentford fans. I think we're well known for the fact that it's got a pub on each corner. I know there was a lot of speculation about whether they were going to do something similar at the new ground. One thing that I think is quite a nice little idea is what you guys have done with Bizotted in presenting this idea of respecting the heritage of.
I will have to say it's the Griffin Park Grapevine
and
Bias as well. Yeah. So it's not been just us.
Yeah, from what we've done here and what Bias and Griffin Park Grapevine have done, it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's now about creating new traditions that respect the past. I think that's a very important thing. You know, when we're taking this new step in our club's history, and it's really exciting, but I think we should take that with and bring the past with us, if you like, and bring that sort of heritage. And I think we can create new traditions, we can create new habits, we can create new Harry Curtises and new pubs on each corner.
Exactly, and it's not, you know, what happened in the past isn't necessarily what defines us forever, and you know, there's a lot of history still to be made. But I think for the time being, until we move in, until things have settled down, until new stands have become named after heroes that we don't even know about yet, as a holding pattern, you have to go back and sort of tip your hat to people that deserve it, and you know,
definitely.
And make sure the DNA of your club is kind of moved with you. You know, when we moved to Griffin Park, the stands weren't named as they are now. You know, so you know, things will change, but let's get the starting point right, and let's make fans. It's going to be really emotional when we move from Griffin Park, but let's at least make sure that the heritage and the DNA of the club is moved with us, and then we can go from there.
I've never experienced a stadium move in my life for my club, and hopefully I never will have to, but all I'm going to say is I hope you have eyes on what you're going to nick when it shuts.
Oh, wow.
I've got my idea.
It's all being auctioned, isn't it?
Well, I've heard... This is, whether I'm allowed to say this or not, I will. There's someone who's been employed by the club now, apparently, who is in charge of auctioning off anything that's worth...
Like that at a West Ham?
Yeah, I guess so.
I want a turnstile. I want one of the old turnstiles.
That's quite cool, yeah.
As the front gate.
That's
my house.
A great idea.
That's what I want.
One of the full size ones, or just some?
No. Just the rotating thing. I think you can imagine the rest of it. And I'm not saying anyone from Brentford FC is listening, but Robin McMichael on Twitter, just tweet me and I'll happily take one off your hands.
I'm having a floodlight.
Yeah, I'll go for one of the other floodlights.
Do you know what? If it was me, I'd go for like a sign, Leo Vegas sign. Or like, you know, the Braemar Road. Oh, you know the massive Brentford FC sign outside of Braemar Road, isn't it?
Yeah.
What, the one at the top right on...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one.
Take the B from that.
You're going to shoehorn that one off, are you?
I'll nick it for you, mate.
Oh, no, I've got no room for that. I've got the frontage.
Back it in the garden.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can stick it in my garden.
My neighbours are hacked off with a bloody floodlight as it is.
Oh, you've already got it.
I'm having it.
You see Laney Lane planning permission for a floodlight.
Yeah. Put down a deposit on it already.
Exactly, exactly. £10 to Dave Lane. Manchester United have reached the FA Cup quarterfinal for the fifth consecutive season. The first time they've done that since 1966. They have beaten Chelsea by 2-0. Question marks over the future of Maurizio Sarri as Chelsea manager. We will have the draw in full for you next on Offsport.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
No XG, Dave, tonight. It's XP, Dave. we've lost him to the local services outside.
XP Dave's returned
in the building. So yeah, we are waiting the draw for the FA Cup quarterfinals. Don't forget the balls. Wolverhampton Wanderers number one, Millwall. In at, I really want Millwall, please Millwall, but then Crystal Palace in at number three, Manchester City in at four, Manchester City in at four. Number five is Manchester United. They of course have beaten Chelsea by 2-0 this evening. Six, Swansea City, of course, knocked out Brentford yesterday. Fair play to them. Great finish by Daniel James. Seven, Watford, who look pretty decent in this competition this year. Of course, knocked out QPR on Friday night. And eight, Brighton and Hove Albion, who will definitely be looking for a decent cup run. And let's be fair, what's been a pretty tame season for Brighton so far this year. They've been on a terrible, terrible winless run. We await the draw for the quarterfinals. As soon as we have it, we will bring it to you this evening. But yeah, just talking about Dave's floodlight, really.
Mate, if you imagine if we'd have won yesterday, this part of the show would have been the best part
different.
Of any radio show you've ever been part of, Aaron. At the moment, we're kind of in quicksand.
We kind of wanted to hurry
so,
up.
So shall we go back to the question? The Canos at right back, is that little experiment, is that at its day, Dave?
Possibly. I think timing... He's played really well against Villa. He did a really good job in that game. Probably shocked everybody, and yeah, we probably shouldn't have been shocked because he's quick, fast, hungry, skillful. So he can do lots
and
of things.
In the first half, it still looked like it was a potent.
It looked like it was working, didn't it? He was up and down again. He's just a good player and can do lots of things well. I mean, second half, especially when you sort of go down to 10. Then you start to see that it's not his natural position.
I think it's unfair to compare that first and second half. As a right wing back, he's got that license to go forward a bit more, whereas at right back, he's defensively, he's not experienced enough there to be playing that position. And that's just the truth of it.
And, you know, although Canos's defensive skills aren't really being called into question because he's never admitted ever that he was a defender, are we saying that... you know, the goalkeeping situation is as we would like. You've got Bentley and Daniels there. We've also got what is considered a fairly decent goalkeeper. Not in my books. Out on loan at Bristol Rovers, and you've got Ellery Balcombe, who's an England under.
I see a lot
player.
Of tweets about him.
Yeah, he's promising. I he could push he could push for the bench next season. I think that might be the backup role, but. I mean, we'll be brutally honest, neither Bentley or Daniels are good enough for a team to get promoted.
Neither is Bottom.
No, he's not either. And it's a dilemma we've got.
I'd go as far as to say that each of our goalkeepers at times has looked a liability.
Yeah.
Whether it's Bottom or Bentley or Daniels. Bentley in his first season was absolute quality. Mm. And then last season he cost us goals. This season he's cost us a lot of points.
Yeah,
he has.
I think I'd go so far as to say, as I think a few years ago when we started a season with David Button and Daniel Bentley in goal, and we were thinking, all right, okay, sold Button, and then Bentley proved his worth that season. It is never ever a good thing to not know who your number one goalkeeper is.
And
I think that's a really detrimental effect on the squad. Not necessarily because they're bad keepers or the rest of the squad are bad, but just not knowing who that one keeper is going to be between the sticks is going to be detrimental.
And it's really annoying because I'd love our directors of football to be out there concentrating on what is clear, what we absolutely need, and there it's been confused by having a goalkeeper to be thrown into the mix, which is almost as important as getting a new striker.
It is. Yeah.
They'll save you points, don't they?
What do points make?
Points make prizes.
Big prizes.
I'm a love.
Goals change games. Points make prizes.
Good game.
The balls are out of the bag and into the giant cylinder, which I presume is nicked off the national lottery.
It's not a hat, is it?
It's a bowl, isn't it?
Is it a bowl?
It's not a cylinder.
It's an awful hat.
A hat?
It's not a hat, is it?
They're being shaken around by Wayne Bridge. which is something I never imagined myself saying. The first ball out of the hat is number six, Swansea City.
Here's what we could have had.
So this is what we could have had.
And bullseye, anyone?
Go on, Millwall, go
and
on.
Here's what you could have won. It is number four, City. Manchester City.
Well, they're going to get absolutely
It would have been Brentford versus Manchester City.
Yeah, well, wow. I'm gutted, really, because that would have been a perfect way to say goodbye to Griffin Park.
Go on,
you're not
at Millwall, you're not at Millwall.
That would have been a nice little swan song for Griffin Park, wouldn't it?
Mm. Next out, seven, Watford.
Never heard of him.
Who?
And we await the next ball to emerge. It is number three, Crystal Palace, an all Premier League affair there. Watford versus Crystal Palace. Millwall, the lowest ranked team left in the competition.
Not a bad team, though.
Number one, Wolves. Ooh. It's getting closer. I'm nervous. I feel sick.
Who do you want?
Millwall. Yeah. I don't, bro. I don't.
Do you not want them, or do you want them?
They will take on. Number five, Wolves versus Manchester United at Molineux.
This is good for Millwall.
Here we go. Will this be at the Den or will it be at the Amex? It's Millwall versus Brighton and Hove Albion. It will be played
at the Den.
Millwall to take on Brighton and Hove Albion.
How do they do it? They've got a good cup side.
They
are.
Yeah, they really
cup
are.
Side, Millwall.
Really
they're a horrendous league side.
No, but well, they got through to the semis side. And the cup final and... Wow.
They do just have that knack, don't they, to be able to get to the latter stages of cup competitions.
The beauty of it is that their centre-halves can actually head balls, which is quite good.
Cooper's about 6 foot
Jake
10.
Cooper's 6'5".
He's quite good at heading.
I'm a bit gutted about the Man City.
Let me just reiterate the draw. Swansea City versus Manchester City. Watford versus Crystal Palace. Wolves versus Manchester United. Millwall versus Brighton and Hove Albion. Ties to play to be played over the weekend of the 15th to the 18th of March.
Oh, that would have been such.
That would have been lovely. Yeah.
It's kind of a bit frustrating.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Disappointing, but there you have it. There is always next year, gents.
If we'd have lost 9-0, we would have been a little bit.
Mm. Let's talk to Gab Sutter now. Firstly, Gab, thank you for joining us. Secondly, what do you make of that FA Cup draw? Of course, it could have been Brentford versus Manchester City at Griffin Park.
To be honest, I've not actually caught up with the FA Cup draw because I've been...
We could make it up.
Who did Swansea get then?
Swansea got Arsenal.
Oh, right, so that's a bit of a missed opportunity for
Arsenal
Brentford,
are out, pal.
Yeah, he's just messing with you, Gab.
Arsenal are out. It's Swansea versus Manchester City at the Liberty.
Oh, of course, yeah. Right.
Millwall got West Ham.
Oh, really?
No, West Ham are out.
Gav, ignore everything you hear.
Stop confusing me, Gav.
Corinthian Casuals are playing now, Zane.
They're playing the parish of Little Wallop.
Yeah. All right, I'm starting to get sceptical now.
welcome to the show, anyway. It's
Thanks
been a baptism of fire there. Sorry.
Right, okay.
So you know, Brentford yesterday, we've been talking about this a little bit earlier, that we were 1-0 up at half-time at the Liberty, and we looked like we were cruising. Although, we call it a cup run, we'd beaten Oxford and Barnet. It was hardly like a proper run. But, you know, Swansea the second half, we were shocked by the way they came back at us. You know, you're obviously a knowledgeable reader of the Football League. Were you surprised that Swansea had that in their locker?
I suppose so. I mean, given the sort of strife around Swansea with the way they handled the sort of potential, which didn't actually happen, the sales of people like Daniel James, which didn't happen on deadline day, I thought that was a bit strange, really, the whole sort of running of that club. And obviously fans aren't happy about that. So actually after going 1-0 down, you wouldn't necessarily have expected them to have got back into it. But you'd have to say that that they did sort of cause real problems on the counter-attack, a bit like Brentford did for their goal. So you've got to credit Swansea for that.
And Daniel James, you mentioned him, he had an amazing second half. And, you know, a lot of people, it would have been the first time they probably would have sat up and taken notice of him. He seems to be destined for much better things.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I like the pace that he showed in that second half, as well as the quality, was just extraordinary. You've got to think that, considering that I think this is pretty much his first season in senior football, he certainly has a really bright future ahead. But I'm going to be really excited to see what the future holds for him, because I felt a bit sorry for him in a way, because he'd been at Elland Road on deadline day, hoping to secure that move to Leeds United, and it didn't fall through. So I suppose to respond to that and still to give everything for Swansea, I suppose that's a testament to his character, really.
Robin Hood here, Gavin, thanks very much for joining us. It's always difficult to come back from a loss, but particularly when it was such a poor performance and we were absolutely battered by Swansea in that second half. How do you think we should come back? What do you think we should do to sort of try and recover from that and try and, as a club, if you like, recover from what was a very disappointing loss and has turned out to have cost us a tie against Manchester City in the FA Cup, in the quarters of the FA Cup?
Well, I think it's important to remember that it's only one game. And also in the first half of that game, I would add that you know that a lot of people were saying that you did actually deserve the lead at that point. So you're looking at a bad 45 minutes, and I don't think that, given how the way the club is run, I don't think it's the type of club or the type of manager that's going to make any rash decisions based on that small amount of playing time. Having said that, I mean, I do kind of think that when you're handling counter-attacks, and this is, again, only based on one game, I think Mokotjo does loads of running work. I think with Sawyers, I don't necessarily think he's that type of player. So maybe in certain different games, and I don't know what Brentford fans think about this watching more regularly, whether, you know, the midfield is perhaps something to look at, especially away from home.
We've got Josh McEachran on the bench, Gavin. It's an interesting dilemma to have. What I also wanted to ask is, it's been a bit of a week of two halves for us as a club, from the euphoria of the Aston Villa win in the last minute with Neil Maupay's fantastic goal to, as you say, and as you've rightly pointed out, a sort of a 45-minute blip. Which one do you think, in the long term, will have more weight, which will carry more weight? Will the Neil Maupay's last-minute goal have more of a positive effect than the negative effect of the 45 minutes?
Well, for me, I don't believe in placing too much importance on one game. I think actually, if you'd look at what happened the first sort of 10 games of Thomas Frank's reign, a lot of people would quite rightly have been sort of worried about it. I mean, I think the last time I came on here, it was sort of a bit of a crisis point, and having been given time by the hierarchy, Frank's been able to sort of find a system. He's gone to three at the back. He's put Jean Vier, that's made a difference, and you know, added that bit more physicality with Mokotjo coming in. He's found the right sort of blend and the right system. So I don't think it's a case of looking at too much into the importance of one game, and really just looking at the progress he made over a longer period.
Cheers, Gav.
Yeah, great stuff, Gav. Hi, Gav. It's David here.
Hi, David.
Hi. Yeah, you good, Gav? Thanks for coming on. After a big defeat like that, sort of 4-1, you've been humiliated on TV. Everyone's seen it. There's a lot of soul searching going on, but I'm a bit more positive. I think there's a lot of things going on that's actually quite good and quite right. And looking at the rest of the season, I think you just got to put this game to the side. But there's some teams above Brentford that I'm not so sure really are actually as good as their position sort of shows. What do you think, if Brentford put a run together, what do you think they're actually capable of this season? Where could they get to?
I would say, looking from the outside, I think finishing in the top half is the target. But I must say that I do sort of follow the expected goals sort of model. I know that's going to divide opinion slightly, but but based on that, in terms of shot data, Brentford have kind of been sort of among the top six or seven teams in the Championship in terms of performances this season. And it feels like in the last two seasons, there's been a kind of 10-game patch where you've not quite got things right. I mean, at the beginning of last season, you know, good performances but weren't quite getting the results. And then this season, there was that transitional period with Thomas Frank. So I feel like Brentford aren't actually that far away from being serious challengers for the top six. I think if you can get the recruitment right in the summer, as you'd back for it to do historically, then I do think there's exciting times ahead.
Yeah, just on the recruitment side of things, Gab, sort of looking on the outside in, some glaring areas. What would you say is an absolute necessity? It has to be addressed first thing next season.
Well, I think the goalkeeping position, looking from the outside, is possibly something to look at. It's I'm a massive fan of Daniel Bentley as a character. I think he's a lovely chap, but I do think that you've got to accept that he's perhaps made more errors than he would have liked this season. So I would say that the goalkeeping position is something to look at. I also think that if Rico Henry goes, then maybe a bit more cover on that left side.
True. Yeah, the fullback positions do seem to be kind of like alarm bell situations. And you know, as an outsider looking in, and someone who's obviously clearly very knowledgeable about the game, where would you actually see our place in the pecking order of things is now? Obviously, we're promising. We're always going to be sort of trying to punch above our weight. Do you think it's realistic to ever expect us to be above where we are, or do you think what you see now is probably like the kind of like the limit of what we're able to achieve?
I don't think it's the limit at all. I think actually there seems to be signs at the moment that the club, in terms of budget, could be about to shop in a slightly higher sort of bracket in the market, if you like, than we saw 2 or 3 years ago. So I certainly think that there's development there. I think that a lot of people will look at Brentford potentially players and think that's an exciting proposition. I mean, play very exciting football. Although you've not got the budget of teams coming down from the Premier League, I think the advantage that you've got is you've got an excellent structure in place. So I don't think you're a million miles off the Premier League at all.
Gab, thank you very much for joining us. Gabriel Sutton with us
on
Love Sport Radio.
Premier League in 2 seasons.
Yeah, that's it. Gab said it.
Yep. Gab called it.
XG Day didn't.
Exactly. You're losing your touch, pal. Don't Gab say it. It's right. It's right. back to Griffin Park at the weekend to take on the whole Tigers. Can I just say, if they score against you, And they start doing more by the Tigers, please can someone record it?
We're going to be stung by the bees.
What, are you going to turn on your backs and just start like shaking your backs?
Have you ever seen a bee fight a tiger?
No.
No. We're about to find out.
I was stung by a hornet once.
Did you?
Ouch.
Painful.
I bet.
Yeah, sounds pretty painful.
Been bitten by a shark.
No, you haven't.
You haven't.
Have you? Oh, you were lying as well.
I've got bit by a hornet.
Well, prove it in a court of law.
I think I believe in hornet more.
Go to the NHS and ask them.
They won't show me your records. They're too long.
If they want, pal, you know. But yeah, let's hope there's no mauling from the tigers. A taming of the tiger. Let's hope it's Tony the tiger who turns up. Whatever happened to him?
Terry the tiger.
Terry the tiger. Terry.
Talk to me.
Savvy the tiger, right.
I can do the mouse from that.
Go on.
Hello, I'm a mouse. I need some
He
shoes.
Can actually do it.
Wow.
There's a cat in the garden and I need to get rid of it.
He can actually do it.
It's probably my only talent that I actually have.
That's the last time that he ever appears on this podcast.
The neighbour's on fire.
I'm the buyer, you're the seller.
Right, how's it going to go? Brentford taking on Hull City. What do you expect from him?
A good team.
Hull are a good
team.
They're
all right.
They've got some dangerous players.
Jared Bowen's the one, isn't he? He's the
Jared Bowen.
Dangerous left foot. Got to keep an eye on him.
Well, yeah. It, again, it's like underestimate some of these teams at your peril. And I think, you look at Hull and the way they started the season, you expect us to win. But they went on this mighty run.
They're
above us in the league and they deserve to be, probably. Yeah. And, you know, people were going, how can you big up other teams? But really, if you haven't learned in year 5 that this team is not full of mugs. This league isn't full of mugs.
The Aston Villa complex.
Yeah. So
it's the whole hashtag teams like Brentford. We can't start doing that to other teams.
Hopefully it's a cracking game and we'll edge it. And
hope so. We're different now. We were 4-3-3 back then. We're 3 at the back now. We're a little bit more solid. I mean, it doesn't sound like it after the weekend.
I didn't go up to the whole game, but a lot of people said that was probably the worst performance of the season, apart from maybe Blackburn.
Yeah, a few players didn't.
I think that was the whole Dalsgaard.
It's actually going to be interesting to see how we bounce back from this, because obviously there is no cup run, there is no playoff place that's there at the moment.
No.
We're looking at top half of the season and top 10. Top 10 is where we need to be heading for, and we have to start winning games. We are running out of games.
Well, I think if I've got this right, we're 10 points. We're as far off the playoffs as we are off of the relegation zone.
Oh, we're not going down.
But so we're not going down. So I think the ethos now needs to be to genuinely look up and go, right, we can actually go for this. Let's do it. I think Hull at home is a good game to have. It's a winnable game to bounce back from the Swansea defeat. And on the back of the Aston Villa win at home, that goal under the lights, I've not celebrated a goal like that in a long time. It was fantastic. And I think I'm expecting a difficult game, but an open game. And I'm expecting a win, tentatively.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say 2-1 Brentford.
I'll go 2-1 Brentford.
2-1 Brentford?
I'm going to go 3-1 Bs.
I'm going 3-1 Bs as well. I think that's it.
I thought you just didn't want to go 2-1 Brentford. And you just wanted to say, oh, we can't do it.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me this evening. This is Last Sport Radio. It's been the B-Side Podcast. Thank you very much.
Always a chore. Never a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm back Thursday night. Talk all things Spurs from 7 p.m. Join me then.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.